Okay, the boys side. Today's daf is daf Pei Hei. We'll start from daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom of the Amud. As you'll recall, we had a machlokes in our Mishnah between Reb Tarfin and Reb Akiva. When you have a situation where Chas V'Sholem, someone passed away, and he left Nechosim, and particularly he left Metaltalin, he also left Yorshim, as well as Balei Choiv, as well as a young lady who unfortunately now is an almona who wants to collect on her ksuva. So we had a machlokes whether or not the almona and or the balei choiv can be toifis, can they go and grab metaltlin to go and satisfy their claim. Rabbi Kiva says, no, ein merachmin badin, because when you're talking about either the ksuva or the balei choiv, there is no shibud on metaltlin. Only on karkois. However, Reb Tarfin says, if they were able to grab gizuntai, the bali choiv and or the ksuba, the isha, will be zocha. So we already had yesterday a story, and now the Gemara is going to give us today a series of stories of those that happened, all based on that theme of our Mishnah, and then we're going to go me'inyan le'inyan, ba'oisa inyan, to related themes. So we're holding four lines from the bottom of Pei Dalet Amud Bet. Four lines from the bottom. The Gemara tells the story about Yemer Bar Choshu. Havu Masik, that was his name, Yemer Bar Choshu. Havu Masik Bei Zuzi Behu Gavra. What happened was, there was a person, the Gemara does not name the person, who owed money to Yemer Bar Choshu. And he didn't pay him back. And Shochem, and that person, Nebuch, passed away. Vishovik Arva, and he left over a boat. And he figured, let's grab that boat for purposes of satisfying the choiv. Now Yemer Bar Choshu, for some reason, was not able to go and devote the time or the effort to try to grab the boat. And therefore, Omali Lishlucha, he asked for a shliach. Do me a favor. Zil Tofsen Nile. Go and take the boat and chop it on my behalf so that I'll be able to go and satisfy the choiv that Mr. Haugavra left for me. Ozal Tofsa. He listened to Yemer Bar Choshu's request, and in fact, he chopped the boat, and everybody felt, hey, that's great! Except for Pogu Bei Rapapa, Ravuna Bered Rav Yeshua, these two great Rabban, Rapapa and Ravuna Bered Rav Yeshua, met the Shliach of Yemer Bar Choshu, and Omrulei, and they said to him, had Yemer Bar Choshu himself grab the boat, then you'd be okay, you'd be on safe waters. However, at you were the one that grabbed the boat, you're just a shliach, you're toifis lebal choyv b'mokim shechav l'acherim. V'yom Rabbi Yochanan, at toifis lebal choyv b'mokim shechav l'acherim. Loi kono. That is because there are other bali choyv. Apparently this Ahu Gavra left over a whole bunch of them. Correct. And therefore, although you're being mezake on behalf or zoche, on behalf of Yemer Bar Choshu, that's very nice, but you're being mechayev others. And Rabbi Yochanan said, you can't go and be toifis for one and take priority over one over others. If you're a bal choyv yourself, that's fine. But the shliach himself cannot go and assist one against the other.
The shliach adam kamoso.
Why by kedushin this works?
I'm sorry, by kedushin?
Why does it work by kedushin? It's taking out the pearl of circulation.
True.
Others want the same pearl. Kavla cherim shliach shel adam kamoso, and it's mekadesh.
Here it's a toifis lebal choiv b'mokim shechav l'acherim. We're not talking about a case of any type of shlichas. Anytime you want to do a dvar mitzvah and you're going to send the shlich to go and do it, oi, somebody else could have done the mitzvah. You have the same concept of the gabei mitzia. If you pick up the mitzia yourself, it's fine. But if you send the shlich to pick up the mitzia, and then he's chav l'acherim, other people would have wanted to go and grab that mitzia as well. Here you could just go and do kiddushin. Baruch Hashem, this is not a case of a bal choiv, where you are preferring one bal choiv over the other. Here it's just, Baruch Hashem, all the men in the world and all the ladies in the world should all get married. And if a person wants to go and send a shliach, it's not a bal choiv type of situation. So here our Gemara tells us that since this is, if you look at the Rashi on the bottom of the Amud Beis, HaToif is a bal choiv, four lines from the bottom, we are now explaining Rabbi Yochanan. Toif is a bal choiv, shliach, HaToif is metalklin, shel loive.
Why
You cannot prefer one Baal Choyv over the other. They themselves can rush to the finish line. Whoever's there first can try to collect first. But you, Shliach, cannot go and help out one to the detriment of another. It's a special Baal Choyv din. And therefore, says the Gemara, Tafsu Inu. It turns out, says Rashi, that Rav Papa and Rav Huna, brother of Yeshua, they themselves were also Baalei Choyv of this Ahu Gavra. And what did they do? So they themselves, they didn't send Shlichem, they themselves now grabbed the Arva. Each one of them wanted to make a Mashiach. And they tried to do a Mashiach in two different ways. What was that? Rav Papa Mimlech Meluchi. Rav Papa apparently jumped into the boat, started taking the oars, and started rowing to be moishich the boat, to move it from place to place. Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, mamtech lo b'ashla. He didn't get into the boat, but instead he slept with a rope. He was pulling the boat to shore, and in that way do a mashiach. So now we have a machlokes between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, who won. Mar omer ani chanina le'lekula. I was the one that zocha. I did a mashiach by taking the oars and rowing the boat. I slept it, and therefore I was kind it. What happened? Rav Ushmul di Amri Tavayu v'hu chitziburin u'menochem rishusar rabim. We had this Gemara yesterday, as you recall, was the third and the fourth line on the Amid Beis, that even according to Rav Tarfin, that holds that you can be koine metalklin that belonged to the niftar by being toifis, by chapping it. But Rav Shmuel said it has to be Bereshus HaRabim. Aval b'simta loy. What exactly is a simta? So Rashi didn't define the simta as much as describe the simta. What we would call a simta would be a narrow alleyway, which is not your typical place where Bnei Rishus HaRabim are traveling back and forth. It's an alleyway where only a few people get together from time to time when they have to cross between one street and the other. But it's not a major crossing. So you look at the Rashi back on Pei Dalet Amud Beis, the fourth line from the top, Besimta, four lines from the top, Keren Zavius, it's a little vinkala, a corner, Hasmuch L'Rishus HaRabim, which is right next to L'Rishus HaRabim, Ubnei Odom Hu Oisin Schoira Ze Im Ze Bishuk. And then you have people that want to do some business, and they don't want to go up to their offices. Maybe they don't even have an office, so they want to do it in the street. They don't want to be smack in the middle of Broadway or in the middle of Rehov Dizengoff or wherever where you have people running back and forth coming to. You can't even hear. What did you say? I said 100. I don't want. What did you say? I can't hear you. Etc. See, therefore they would go into a quiet vinkala. Vinkala means a corner. The Keren Zavit. And they were able to be able to speak the Nachas Yishuv Das, some Mistalka Misham, so they kind of go and move in that area. So what Reb Tarfon was saying was, if the object that we're talking about is lying there in the Simta, then the person cannot be Toface for himself. The reason is, explains the next Rashi, because if it's in the Simta, it's not a Mokim Hefker, but rather, since this is a relatively secluded corner where you don't have a lot of traffic going back and forth, so then the Yorishim are kind of in that spot, wherever it happens to be. And therefore, someone who were to grab it, says Rashi, it's as if he's taking it from their home. Rather, if you want to go and grab it, and it's not in the Rishus of the Yorishim, it has to be smack in the middle of the Rishus HaRab. The Gemara assumed at this point that the Arva, the boat, was resting at shore. Normally, where would you find boats? They would be on the side of the river, the side of the ocean, tied nicely to the dock, and they would be docked there. The Gemara considers that, Rashi considers that to be a simta. And so therefore, if it's in a simta, oy vavoy, it belongs to the Yorishim, and nobody can be toface, even according to Reb Tarfin, according to Rav and Shmuel. By the way, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish yesterday held that even besimta you can be koina, but these man, the Yomrim, the Gemara, apparently go with the shita of Rav and Shmuel, and the only way that you can be toifis for the Baalei Choyv or for the Ksubas Isha is only if it's Rishus Rabim and not Pesimta, and therefore if it's parked at the dock on the shore side of the river, then you cannot be Kone. Amalahu. So he responded back to them, Anan nami mecharufusa denara tefisna. You made a big mistake. When we grabbed this boat between ourselves, this one going and...
Zemar Kula Shalev.
Exactly. Where was it? It wasn't at the side of the river. In fact, it was smack in the middle of the river. Since it was the middle of the river, it's just like Rishus Rabim, where you have the traffic running back and forth, keep people coming and going. Here, too, you have the rapids of the river, which have the status like Rishus Rabim. See, if you look at Rashi, the fourth line from the top, Echaravusa Dinara, Loimitzanu Al Svasa Nohar. We didn't find it nicely parked in the dock. No. She kissed him. That would be like a simta. It was in the middle of the river. She called Venus Holchisham, and therefore it has a status. Kirishus Harab.
Why would you think of it as being maybe Hefker? If a person leaves his boat in the middle of the river, which is not common, usually they tie it up by the basin, by the boat basin.
Mm-hmm. It got loose. It floated into the river.
Exactly.
Right.
The owner died.
Would it Hefker?
It would not be Hefker. If it has simanim, and presumably every boat has a simon, then you'd have to return to although the owner is. Just like any time you find a metziah. But we'll mention, we'll learn more about this in Bava Metziah. And get tissue. And they continue, Mara continues on. Also the Kami Rava. So this whole story now came in front of Rava. Who was Koine? Was Rapapa Koine? Vunabri Bishua Koine? Remember, Rapapa took the oars. Vunabri Shlu was schlepping it with a rope. And Rava was not impressed by all of this. Amalahu, Kaki Chivri. The word Kaki, says Rashi, means avozim, which are geese. Chivri means which are white geese. Why did he call them white geese? Says Rashi, because both Rapapa and Vunabri Bishua were Zakenim, were elderly, and therefore presumably had white hair and white beards. And he says, you two white geese, Meshalchi Glimi D'Inshi. What you seem to be doing is stripping off the clothing of individuals. What did he mean to say with this? Hochim Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman Paskin, Vushetovsa Mechayim. Only time Tvisa works is not Li'achar Misa, only Tvisa Mechayim. Who is this Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman was Paskin Aliba de Rabbi Kiva. Remember, we started off this year, then yesterday's Mishnah, we had a machloek between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfin, where the Tvisa helps when a person passes away, when someone who's a Balchoyv, or the Isha, the Almana, when they want to go and grab the Metaltlin, can they do that? So if you look at the top of Pei Dalet Amid Beis, the top two lines, Rabbi Kiva, although in the Mishnah he said Tvisa doesn't help, Tvisa Lemahan Yiklal does not help. Ever, Rashi says it's a Loshen She'ela. Omer Rav, Omer Rav Nachman, the same Rav Nachman that we're talking about today, the same Rav that's quoting Rav Nachman. V'ushetofas mechayim. Even Rabbi Kiva would agree that if the Baal Choyv or the Almana saw that Nebuch, the person who owes them money or owns the Ksuba, the husband, is Nebuch a Shchimra, a Goses, who's about to leave this world, what did they do? They grabbed the metaltlin when the person was still alive. Then, when the person passed away, the Yorshim never took possession of it because they had taken possession before. So then Rabbi Kiva holds that it works. Rabbi Tarfin says, no, you don't have to be Toifis Mechaim, you can be Toifis Le'achat Misa. What our Gemara is telling us is that Rav is paskeling in the name of Rav Nachman, that we paskel like Rabbi Kiva, not like Rabbi Tarfin. And so therefore, what you have done, Rav Papa and the food of Rabbi Yeshua, is all in vain, because the only time Tvisa would help, if you did it, Mechaim, and both of you did it now, Liachar Misa. That's the end of that story. And now we start a new story. Avimi Bereid Rebavo, have a maski bay zuzi bay choizoi. Avimi Bereid Rebavohu, owed money to bay choizoi. Rashi just told us bay choizoi is Anshi Oisa Medina, but you remember we had in the Gemara the other day, the Bei Chozoi was far quite away. Far away.
The 600 zuz to get 400 zuz.
Exactly right. One of the people wanted to go and collect money in Bei Chozoi. He had to spend 600 zuz to be able to go and collect the 400 zuz. He had that Gemara back on Pei Omid Aleph. And Rashi said, Chozoi, Sheimokim, Vayerochai Kemena. It was far away, far away. And therefore, that's Bechazoi. And now our Gemara tells us about the Bechazoi, that if Imi Bered Ravo, have a mask in Bechazoi, Bechazoi, he owed money to people in Chazoi. Shadrinu biyat Choma Bered Rabba Bar Avo. So he sent the money in the hands of Choma to go, please pay off the debt. Ozal Parinu. He paid off the debt. After he paid off Amalahu, he said, oh, by the way, Havalishtara, please give me the loan document, give me the note that was written originally that Abimi owed you money. I want to give it back or tear it up. After all, I don't want you to collect a second time. Omrulay, and they said to him, oh, no, Sitroi Ninu. We had, in fact, two outstanding loans vis-a-vis Abimi Bered Ravo. One of them was Bishtar, in other words, written in the form of a note, but the other one was a Milva Alpeh. What you just paid was the Milva Alpeh. And therefore, we're not going to give you back the note, the shtar, because he still owes the money. Now, whether they're telling the truth or not telling the truth, we really don't know. But one thing we do know is that the shliach has made a fool out of himself, because he should have asked for the note first, or at least simultaneously, with giving the money. Once you hand over the money, it's easy for the other person to say, I'm holding on to the shtar. Anyway, also the coming of Ravavo, this now comes in front of Ravavo, this shayr. Omelem, Isloch Sadi de Parisinu. He asks now the Shliach, do you have Edim that you paid off this loan to the Bechazoi? Omelem, no, private transaction, nobody else, no witnesses, no gunish. Omelem, he said, if that's the case, Migi de Chayl Loimar Lahay Dvar Mi'olam. If they wanted to, the Bechazoi could deny the entire payment. I don't remember, I don't know, because there are no witnesses. Then they're believed to say that, unfortunately, this was a payment on a loan which was not documented, which was an oral loan. And so therefore, unfortunately, the Bechazoi have the upper hand in this litigation. You have no proof otherwise. They could deny payment. So now when they say that there were two loans, in Balpeh loan and Bechzav loan, I have no choice. I got to believe them. And so therefore, unfortunately, they're going to keep their shtar and they'll be able to collect a second time. But now the obvious question is, but wasn't the shliach negligent? And if so, he should have to go and pay that second time. He should have asked for the shtar. So what's the din? Does the shliach have to reimburse the loan or have to pay the second loan? Let's take a look. What were the directions that he was given? What were the instructions? If the Mishalech, meaning Avimi Bered Ravavo, who sent the money in the hands of Choma, if he said, hand over the shtar, and then I'll pay you the money, then Mishalem, then obviously he's negligent. He didn't follow his instructions. However, if the Mishalech said, Havzuzi Ushkol Shtar, what you have to do is hand over the money first, and then take the shtar, then lay mishalim. In other words, he felt that he must be trustworthy, and therefore, you can give him the money, just make sure to bring the shtar. So then that's fine. He did exactly what he was expected to do. He gave the money. Who knew where's the shtar? He didn't expect that the others would say, he's sitroyin in him. Says he more v'loyhi, abalamaisa, that's not the halacha. Ben kach, mishalim. In both cases, the shliach is negligent. The omalei, because the mishaleach can say to the shliach, the reason why I appointed you to be a shliach is to benefit me, to help me, not to be a shlamazel, not to go and cause me financial pain. Now I have to pay a second time. That wasn't the deal. That's what the Gemara says. However, we have to add one more footnote. Rashi is silent, but there is a toisus. For all those of you that are going to look for toisus here on Pei Hei Amid Aleph, you're going to look in vain. You have to look on Pei Dalet Amid Beis. The Toisus is printed one Amid earlier. You see the last Toisus. The Tikkuni Shedatich V'Lei Lavasi, four lines from the bottom of the Amud, the Tosfot here, the Mata, Pei Dalet Amud Bet. Davka says Toisus Mishum Dehiskir Loi Likach Shtar Oy Betchila Oy Besoif. The Mishaleach had to go and say to him, don't forget the Shtar. The Islei Lasuki Adaitei. Then it should have occurred to him, oh, since I said the Mishaleach is very bent on getting back that shtar, I better make sure before I put a penny on the table, where is the note? Where is the shtar? Avim lo hiskel le kichas shtar. If he didn't mention anything about the shtar, for le omer le tvei el hav zusi. If he just said, "All I ask you to do me a favor, go to Beichoy Zoy. Here's the money, pay it off." Then Porter to Motzi Amar at the Hemeslu for the Amar Lishko Shtar. Kidam Rinnan, like we find in another case. So the point is, I the shliach felt that you must have felt that the other side, that the creditors are absolutely trustworthy and honest, and they don't have to be noivis. So therefore, I handed over the money. If you would have told me to take the shtar, of course I would have asked for the shtar, but you didn't say anything. So therefore, Tosis says, Ar Gemara, that you have a claim against the shliach, and the shliach has to pay damages. It's only if you told him to bring back the shtar. But if you didn't say anything about shtar, he's off the hook. Yes, sir.
So now again, we talking one another. We can come and say, "You never told me anything."
Who never said anything?
The shliach. The shliach can say to the mishaleach.
That's true too. If the mishaleach has no proof, you'd have to have Edom there too. You're 100% right. You're 100% right. If in fact there's no shlichim, the shliach can go and say, "I didn't know anything. You just told me to give the money. I didn't know anything more than that."
I mean, I understand why he didn't say, "Give me a receipt for this movah peh was paid, and then you work it out with the mishaleach afterward," because he just wants to have proof that he gave the money. If there's another oral loan, then they have to litigate it separately and say this.
Yeah, and even if you'd have given a receipt that he paid the money, but the creditor is saying you paid the money, but not on the
entire physical note.
It was on the oral note. On the oral note. So the receipt is not going to be helpful. So, more about it. A new story. I hear that there was a lady. She was what we call today a shomeret, or the outer tzatna, a shoimer. That means they left with her a pikadon, and the pikadon was a meluga. Meluga means a bunch of shtaris. Liron, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Yubriyim, hatzlacha.
So, Shesh vasara,
mir to shem slichot. So it says there was a lady, davnifka de gabba, that they left with her meluga de shtari, a bunch of shtaris, a bundle of shtaris. Also, yorishim katova lemina. One of the people, apparently the person that left the shtaris with her, passed away, and the yorshim are now coming to the shomeret, to this itza, and they say, "Please give us back the shtaris that our father left with you as a bikkur." Omelu, so she said to them, "Mechaim tefisnaluhu." Obviously, she had heard the halacha that we learned before, like Rabbi Kiva, you have to be toifis mechaim. I already grabbed them mechaim, meaning that just like your father left with me this bundle of shtaris, he also left with me an unpaid debt that he owed me. And so therefore, when your father was still alive, I saw that things were not so good. There were big signs in all the shuls, one should say tillim for Mr. Smith. I knew things were not good. So I had in mind with these shtaris that I'm going to go and hold on to them, and I'm going to be toifis mechaim. Therefore, when he passes away, this will be my collateral to try to get my choiv paid. So, choiv to work. I saw the coming to Reb Nachman, they came in front of Reb Nachman. Omar lo, islach sari de tavua minach lechayim. Do you have any proof that Mr. Smith, who had passed away and left with you the bundle of shtaris, asked you to give him back the shtaris when he was still alive? And you said, "No, I'm not giving it back to you. I'm holding on to it as collateral until you pay back my note that you owe me." Do you have such eidim? Omrelein, she said, "Lo, I don't have any eidim." Kein avetvisa d'liachamisa. We don't believe you. In other words, we assume that the shtaris were there in the same cubbyhole when you put them there initially, when the mafkid, Mr. Smith, gave them to you. You didn't touch them. You didn't pick them up. You didn't put them down. You can't go and say, "Well, I had in mind." Having in mind is goonish. You have to have a pa'ula, an act. What would have been the act? The act would have been if Smith came to you and asked you to go and pay you, to go and give him back the shtaris, and you would say, "No, I'm holding on to them." That would be a tvisa mechayim. But otherwise, it's been lying there for the last year or two, ever since he gave you those shtaris. So now you want to be told to sit now. It's tvisa lachamisa. Tvisa lachamisa, loy klum hitos is kodesh.
This is Rabbi Kiva Shita.
This is Rabbi Kiva, and this is the same Rabbi Nachman that we had before, okay. The Paskin like Rabbi Kiva, right? Vushatof is Michai.
Yeah.
Same Mandi Yom Rach. It reminds me of the case just a week ago that they asked former President Trump, when did he declassify the document? Right. I don't know. You have to think about it.
It's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Trump holds like machshava, mefagum machshava, not with amira.
I just had the class where I was thinking about it. She too. I was just thinking about it that, you know, he's going to die, and therefore I was typhus. You got to do something at Pula. Okay. We come on to the next case. There was a lady, the Chayiv Shvua Beidina de Rova. She had to, now this is not directly related to the previous case, or to the din of Tvisa Mechayim La'achar Misa, but since we had a case of an interesting case with an Itza, so we have another case. Maybe the same Itza, maybe another Itza. It says, you know, means an Isha. So another lady. What's the other story? The Chayiv Shvua Beidina de Rova. She had to go make a Shvua in Beidina de Rova. Why did he have to make a Shvua? Apparently there was one aid against her, or she wanted to be wanted to collect from certain nechosim
from like Yisoyim.
The Yisoyim, then you'd have to make a shvua. It's an ishvichtig why, but the ma'isa she had to go make a shvua. Omalei, oh, I skipped over here. I'm wrong way. The chay v'shvua beidin. Derav. Omalei baser of chizda. Yedana. Okay. Omalei baser of chizda. Yedana bo de chashuda ashvua. So Basra of Chizda,
Mrs. Rava,
Rebetzin Rava, said to Rava, I know this lady well. I've had many dealings with her over the years, and I know that Chashuda Ashvua, that unfortunately her Shvuas are worthless because she's a Shakranit. She unfortunately tells lies. So therefore you can't believe her on her Shvuas. When Rava heard that Afcha Rava the Shvua Ashikanegda, Rava went and he was Mahapach, that means he switched the Shvua onto the other tzad, the person who wanted to go and collect from her. In other words, it was apparently a malva. She was the loiva. She was denying it. There was eid echad. She's supposed to go make a shvua. Said Basra of Chizda, don't believe her shvuas. Rava believed his wife and said, therefore, I'm going to go and switch the shvua from a case of nishboin ve'einan mishalmin to a nishboin ve'noitlin. Meaning, I'm going to put it on the other side, on the malve. Why? Says Rashi, because we have such a Mishnah Masechet Shavuos that those people that are choshud al hashvua, then we go and take the shvua that the Torah places on them, and we midrabanan switch sides and put the shvua on the other side. We have nishboy in the notlin in a case of kenegde choshud al hashvua. So that was the end of that story, but we're going to come back to it in a moment. There was another time that Rav Papa Rav Adi Bar Masna was sitting in front of Rava. Ishtar came now in front of Rava, and we have to now decide who is right and who is wrong. The two litigants, the Malv and the Loive. Rav Papa now said to Rava, Yedana beid Ishtar Priyu. I recognize that Ishtar, and I recognize that it was paid already, and therefore I advise you, Rava, not to favor the Malva, to favor the life. Amalei. So now Rava said back to Rapapa, Ik inish achrina ba'day demar, do you have a second individual that also knows that this star is Perua? Amalei, like, no, I don't have anybody with me. I'm just all by myself. Amalei. Avagav the ikamar. Even though you are a very great Talmud Chacham Rapapa, but Eidach Lav Klumu, as you very well know, and Eidach doesn't do the trick. You have the Alpishnaim Eidim Yakum Dabba. You don't have two Eidim, you only have one. Amalei Rav Adamar Masna, Velo Yehei Rav Papa Kibas Rav Chizda. When you accepted Rav Bas Rav Chizda's statement that the other lady is Choshed Al Eshvua, you didn't ask a question. I need one Eidim, I need two Eidim, I have to have two men, you're a lady, you're only one individual. Then you didn't ask any questions. How come over here by Rav Papa, all of a sudden you're making such a fuss? Why don't you believe Rav Papa when he says that this is Perua? Says Rava, Bas Rav Chizda, Kimli Begava. I know my wife like I know myself, after all. She's my wife and Plag Gufa, she's like one and the same. Marlin Kimli Begava, even though Rav Papa, I know that you're a great Talmudic scholar, a great giant in learning, but Lamaisa, I still don't know you as well as I know my wife. With my wife, I'm absolutely confident if she says that the other lady cannot be believed, I'm not going to believe her. But if you, Rav Papa, say that this shtar is paid already, you're a wonderful person, Rav Papa, and Avada, I believe you one-on-one, Ablamaisa, it's not enough, it doesn't rise to that same level of confidence where you would normally need two separate
Why is he Mechayev Shua? Eidachar Mechayev Shua?
Maybe he was, but the point is, he didn't believe him automatically when he said Shtapiru. So now the Gemara says, Omra Papa, no, Hashdi Yom Amar. Okay, so what I will glean from this story, says Rav Papa, that Kim Libe Gavei Milzi, that if you know someone so close to you, that is also considered to be binding for purposes of rules of jurisprudence, even though I don't have two Eidim, but I know the other person as Kim Libe Gavei, that he'll never tell a sheker, whatever he says is absolutely true. Then Kegoyim Abamar Beri, Abamar my son, the Kim Libe Gavei, I know him like I know my wife, like I know myself. Karamish Tarapume, based on what you just said, Rava, that you have this Kimli Begavei Svara or Din, and if that's the case, if my son would go and tell me that this star is paid, I would go and tear it up. Can you really go and tear up a star just based on your son, even if he's Neman to you? El Maranish Tarapume. What I would say is that there's a reyesa in the shtar. In other words, I wouldn't allow you to go and collect on the shtar based on the statement of my son. But to go and tear up the shtar, that far you cannot go. So therefore, if the other person, for instance, would be able to bring two edim that it was not paid, then presumably that would overcome the objections of Abamar Bri. All he's saying is that to go and tear it up, that far it doesn't go with the Kimli. Because what you're doing is, you're denying them. Let's look at the Rashi here for a moment. Kimli Begava, it's the beginning of the line, about two-thirds down the Amid, a little bit past halfway down the Amid. Kimli Begava, Deloy Mishakra, I know my son, well first Rava said about his wife, I know that she's not Mishakeres. Here Rav Papa said about his son, he's not Mishaker. Then Quranis, so I would go and tear up the Shtar based on his say so. Frank Gemara, Quran is Soka Daitach, Sakrashi, Vichy Echad, Neman, Lahoitzi, Shtar Chosim, Liyad Amachsik Boy, Afukim Amoinu, Trey Be'inan. You want to be Moitzi Mamoin. You can't go and take out the Shtar and tear it up and say, this is Gurish. For that, you'd have to have the Koyachav too. Marana, Vilayistakik, Ligvois Ba'oisi Shtar, Omakreyanamili Karanale. In other words, we're somewhat of a Bein HaShemosh, a twilight. I won't allow you to go and collect on the shtar unless you have two other edim. However, I wouldn't go and tear up the shtar either, because after everything is said and done, the son of Rav Papa still doesn't get to the madrega of two edim. And the case of Rav as well. Rav didn't say automatically, okay, case dismissed, she's a shakranis. What he did was he went and shifted the burden of proof to the other side. But he didn't go and dismiss the case based on potential sheker. So here too, he didn't dismiss the shtar. He said, Maranali the shtar, the saka reyes in the shtar. However, you can still rehabilitate it because we're not going to go and tear up the shtar. And now we have another story of Hayitza. Hayitza de Chai Veshvua Beidina de Rabibi Barabai. There was a lady that was Mechieves Eshvua in the bezin of Rabibi Barabai. Omalahu, he said to them, Ahu Zaldin, Taisib Tishtaba Bemasa, Efshid Mikhsva Umuja. Her litigant, in other words, a person on the other side of this lady, said, I'm afraid that this lady, if she's going to make a Shavua in Bezdin, she's likely to make the Shavua because, unfortunately, she is also a Shakranis. And therefore, I wouldn't believe her. But if the only way that you can go and pask in the Shaila is have her make a Shavua, I want to ask Bezdin for a favor. Have her make the Shavua outside in the open, in the middle of Broadway, in the middle of a crowd. Number one, perhaps she will be embarrassed to make a Shavua. And number two, perhaps somebody in the crowd will know, I know the story of this Halva, and I know what she's saying is false. And as a result, when she sees that person, Mr. Goldberg, standing in the crowd, she's going to say, oh, Goldberg knows very well that I owe the money, and she'll have moira to go and make the shvua in public. So this was the proposal that the Baal Din made. Omlu hal Baal Din, teisiv tishtaba, why don't you have her make a shvua, b'masa, masa meaning in the marketplace, efshim, perhaps the mikhsava, she'll be embarrassed, and wouldn't she be moira? This lady was obviously a tough lady, and she was not fazed by this challenge, and she said, no problem, omlu, I ask him to do it, but I want you to do me a favor. I don't want to have to come back to Bezdin again after this whole ceremony. What I want you to do is, Bezdin, write out already a shtar now that, Mir Hashem, as a result of that Shvua Barabim, that you're going to therefore find me acquitted, that I'm not guilty, I don't owe any money, that I'm a full release and discharge. As Omelu, she said to the Bezdin, Kisvili Zachvasa. Zachvasa in this case means a shtar of my schusim, that I won the case based on that shvua. The chemishtabana, that after I make the shvua, Yehavali, you'll have court agents, you'll have people there with that shtar, they'll hand it over to me, and then the case will be dismissed in Shalom Ha'isra. I don't want to have to come back again for another proceeding. It could be a lawyer's time and my time and the energy. Forget about it. I'll make the shvua tomorrow in the public square. No problem. But right after that, give me the shtar. Sofrim, start writing out the shtar right now and sign it, case dismissed, etc. We won't give her the shtar now, of course. We'll give it to a shliach, a yishalish we can trust, and we'll give him very express instructions. As soon as she's finished making that shvua, hand over the pie. Give her that shtar of schusim that she's free. Rapapi. So Rapapi was upset about this psak of Rabibi Bar Abaye. And he said, Mishum dasisu min muloi, amrisa milin muliasa. Now this is an expression that comes up from time to time in Shas, which refers to all the children of the Bnei Eli. As we know, unfortunately, there was a curse on Bnei Eli because of what they did in the times of Eli HaKoyin, vis-a-vis the women that brought in the Kabbanis, and they would grab the Kabbanis.
They held off the Kabbanis, and they had to make the women wait.
They had the women wait until at night, and they also would go and grab the Kabbanis, would ask
before the meat smoked.
Exactly. Before the Chalev, Chalovim were consumed on the Mizbeach, they would go and take away already their Chazav HaShoyt, their portion, etc. They were not nice guys. Now, as a result, unfortunately, there was a curse on the Mishpacha, and the vast majority of the Mishpacha would pass away at the age of 18. Says Gemara, if however they learn Torah, like Rabba, you can live until 40, or like Rav, it's two different gersoys. Now there's Rabba or Rava, and if you learn Torah and do a chesed, like Abaye, you get an extension until 60. Anyway, bottom line is, our Gemara says, Rabibi Bar Abaye obviously was a son of Abaye, and so therefore Nebuch, the curse of the Bnei Eli, and therefore they call Mimuloi. Mimuloi is, Rashi is a couple of pshatim. The first pshat is that just like a mila, you go and cut off a piece. Also, these are Kruseyamim, Nebuch, their days are cut short. Rachmana Litzlam. And so therefore, just because you guys are the cut off family, you say words which are cut off, in other words, which don't make sense. Omer Rava, didn't Rava already paskin? Hay ashrat de dayi de michtava mekami de nachvi sahadi achsim is yodayu psula. If you ever have an ashrat de dayi is what we call a henpik, which is today the equivalent of the notary public, where you have the dayanim notarize ishtar. If they signed the notary ishtar before the edim came in to go and say edis about the chasimis, in other words, we're trying to be extremely efficient, and we tell the court scribes, shortly there's going to be a shtar which is in contest here, in contention here in Bezdin, but we know already that two edim are going to come and testify that the chasimis edim are kosher, and therefore we're going to have a shtar to act as a form of authentication. Write the shtar out already now. We, Dayanim, are going to go and sign it. We're going to hold it in the drawer. As soon as the two Edom come by, and they're going to go and say, yo, we recognize the Edom and their kosher Edom, and they sign perfectly, and this and that counterfeit, and it's all great and wonderful. We'll hand over the shtar at that time. Rava says, any type of pre-written or pre-signed shtaris, like you're talking about, it's a shtar to Dayanim, to Michtavar, Mekami. It doesn't even have to be signed. Just the fact that it was drafted and written before the Edom come and they testify on the chasimis on the shtar. Chasimis yudayu sounds like the Edom are testifying as to their own chasimis, which is also wonderful. Psula, that type of ashrat dedaini is possible. Why? Al mechzik yishikra. How can you already write in it that the two Edom, Smith and Jones, came to be made on chasimis yudayu? And therefore we, the Dayanim, have decided that this shtar is authentic when the two Smith and Jones haven't even appeared yet. They're still davening. They're still davening slichas. So what are you telling me that they came and they appeared and they said they didn't come yet? So even though, of course, after they testified, this would be a bona fide shtar, writing it out in advance, mechzik shikr. So Hokanami, if you're going to give this lady a letter of acquittal saying on it you're free to go because you made the shvur, even though she didn't make the shvur yet, so you're holding in an escrow until she makes the shvur, and I'm mechzik shikr. No good. It doesn't work. However, says the Gemara, this, what Rav Papi was now ma'orer, is not a libid hilchasa. V'lesa, mid Rav Nachman. We don't paskin like that. Why not the Yomer Rav Nachman? Oymer Yeremeir, afil metzoy ba'ashba v'choshem v'nostel lo koshem. What happens if a man who is at loggerheads with his wife and wants to give her a get happens to be passing by a garbage dump and he notices that there's pieces of paper, there are pieces of parchment, and it arouses his curiosity? He takes out a piece of paper and he says, Avraham in this town is giving a get to his wife Sarah today. And he says to himself, hey, my name is Avraham, my wife's name is Sarah, this is the town that we live in, it's today, you know what, I could save myself $500, I don't have to have a sofa write it out, I'll go and give it to him, I'll give it to two Adam, let them go inside it. Says the mayor, that's a kosher star, it's a kosher get. No problem.
80
chasima. Kasi, right, exactly.
He holds 80 chasima. In other words, it's not the ksiva, it's the chasima. But it's not just 80 chasima karsi, because 80 chasima karsi means 80 chasima as opposed to 80 mesira. What you're really focusing on is when it says in the Torah, the cost of law, say the krisus, and the more dash, the cost of law, lishma, are we talking about the ksiva has to be lishma, or the chasima has to be lishma? So this ksiva obviously wasn't the shame Avram and Sarah here because it was thrown in the garbage.
Right.
However, as long as the Eidim are chayisim, that's fine.
Right.
So whether chasim or the mesirat karsi is really not the issue. The issue is where do you have to have lishma, the ksiva or the chasima. As long as the chasima is lishma, it's good, it's fine.
Isn't that what
Chasim or Karti? No, Karti means that they're the ones that make this get kosher.
Uh-huh.
According to the other man, the Yama, you don't even need Chasimus at all on the Shtar.
Okay.
You just have to have Eidim Mesira that say, we saw it.
Makasa and Makasa has to be the mayor says is the
Chasima. Okay. Exactly.
Right.
Ingmar, in fact, Ingmar quotes the Chuvus Ksav Soifer, Chasam Soifer, because Ingmar says, Ksav soifer sheninu or chasam soifer sheninu. When it says the kasam law, who's the lishma? We're talking about the ksav soifer. He has read lishma, but the chasam soifer, meaning those that are signing on the bottom of the shtar, you know, mean the soifer, but the chasimis, they have to be lishma. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, what is obvious? Obvious is that this shtar, if you're going to give it now, it's mechzik shikra. Well, this one Avram that commissioned the soifer to write it for his wife Sarah. They just took a shtar that was thrown in the garbage. In fact, says Yomar Fafil Rabbanon, lately, the Rabbanon that argue and to say that this would not be a kosher get, Ali Dramer, is only because they know it should be in Ksiva Lishma, because they hold that Chasima is not the Iker, the Ksiva has to be Lishma. Avishar Shtaris, where there's no din of Ksiva or Chasima, Moidulay, Avada, they would agree, it's kosher. So you see that you don't hold of the din of Mechzik Shikra. And let's go one step further. Until now we were speaking about a case of a get, and we're making an inference, the Gabi Shar Shai. That, of course, was a machloikis of Tanoi. Now let's bring Amayroi. Yom Rav Asi, Yom Rav Yoichana. Shtar Shalova Boy Uproi. A shtar that was used, for instance, 9 o'clock this morning, a person took a loan of $100, he gave him a note for $100, and 12 o'clock today, he paid it off. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the same individual comes back and says,
I need the money again.
I need the money again. I made a big mistake. I invested in the stock went down. Please give me another $100. And it was today, on the same day. So it's not a question of shtar muktim, shtar mu'ukhar. Same day, says Rashi. You can't use the same shtar over again. Why not? It's perfect. Same Smith and Jones, I lent money to him. Same date, same place. Everything is great. Why do I have to? Because either it says explicitly or implicitly, you have the benefit of Chrayis Tor Soifer contribute and a contribute. You have to write it. Anyway, whatever Chrayis that you had in the shtar has already been Nimchal. It's done because you paid off the shtar. If you want to write a new shtar, that's a brand new shtar. But to use the old shtar, that shtar is a nullity. Zeymen dach v'yene gemar time the nimcha shibud, right? Only because the shibud is nimcha. Avol mechzik yishikra, loy chay shinan. The fact that this happens to be a brand new loan, how can you use an old star for a new loan? Isn't that old to look like a sheker? No, it doesn't look like a sheker. So you see that you don't say the mechzik yishikra svara, therefore Rabibi Barabai did, and said, write out now the receipt on behalf of this lady, the note of acquittal, that the release and discharge, that the case is over, he said correctly, obviously don't give it to her in advance, leave it with the shliach, and as soon as she makes the shmu, you can hand it over, and we do not hold the din of mechsei kishikra. New gemara, new case. As you see, it's a series of interesting cases, all touching upon, first we started off jurisprudence, exactly, although we started off with the Tvisa Mechaim with Achamisa by Ames Rachmul Etzlan, we may Indian the Indian boys Indian will bring other stories and other piskei de. How will gamer the Afkin Shem Marganisa the Tzairi Besadina Beira Miyashia Barbare the Rebbe Shua Ben Levi? What happened over here? A person left a pikadoin of seven marganisa. Marganisa are pearls. Seven pearls. And he didn't just leave them and put it in his hand. He put it into a satin, which means he made such a makeshift purse out of a piece of cloth. He took the cloth and he tied it up in the four corners, seven pearls inside, handed it over to Rabbi Yashia, and Rabbi Yashia was the ne'eman, he was the shomer, and he put it away somewhere. Ultimately, unfortunately, Shachar Rabbi Yashia, he passed away. And Rashi says he passed away suddenly, and therefore nobody expected that this was going to occur, and he didn't have a chance to go and tell his children, by the way, those seven pearls, they don't belong to me, they belong to the Ahu Gavra. What happened? Now the Ahu Gavra, not the children of the Ahu Gavra, come to they don't have to come. Ahu Gavra, the Ahu Gavra himself, came to the children of Miyashia, and he said, please give me back my pearls. And they said, maybe the pearls belong to us. I don't know, maybe belong to the father. I don't know. We have no record whatsoever that this was a pikadon. Also the Kamid Rabami. So they came from the Rabami. Omalei, Chodod Yedana Ben Rabbi Yashia Barberei Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi Toloi Amit. He, Rabami said, it's highly likely that this Ahu Gavra is right and not the Yorshim. Not that they chas v'shalom are shakranim.
However, they just don't know. They're making an honest effort to...
They have every right to go and try to claim their inheritance. Right. But it's highly unlikely that this belonged to Rabbi Yashia. You know why? I knew him well. And I know the way Amid, he was not a wealthy individual. The word Amid is like the word Ashir. If you look at the Rashi, the way Amid ain't a Ashir. And then Rashi... Yeah, notice in Arashi here, which is the second narrow line, there is a small Dalit, which says, go and look up another Rashi in Mesechta's Gittin. And my son yesterday showed me and sent me the Rashi in Mesechta's Gittin, and says, where the word Amit come from in connection with an Oysher? Because he says, it's the Derech B'nei Adam, when you have a person who's an Oysher, that everybody goes out and speculates and assesses his Ashiris. They talk about Rockefeller. Oh, he was a multimillionaire. Nah, he wasn't he was a billionaire. Really? How do you know? Well, I know. And then what do you say? He had $100 million. The other guy, $50 million. Everybody becomes automatically an overnight expert.
An appraiser,
exactly. So therefore, the person who's the Oysher, he's also the Ne'emad. The people are always appraising his value and saying about him, oh, he's a great rich guy. Never a poor person, nobody appraises him for anything. So therefore, he's not an Amid. Anyway, that's the derivative of the expression. V'yoyit. So number one, I know about him. And this is similar to Rava's case in the Amid Aleph. I know my wife. If she says that the other person, Shakron, is... Exactly. I knew Rabbi Yashia.
Collect the shvua to the other litigant.
Exactly. That was that case. When I finished it. V'yoyit. Another thing is, Hakayoav Simna. Although the Gemara didn't say that in detail, but the Hukavra that came said there were seven pearls, and they were wrapped up. Ruvain, the rabbi is asking you to come in for a moment. The seven pearls were wrapped up in this satin, so obviously he knew about it. Obviously it was his at one time. It could be that he gave it to him as a present. He could be that he sold it to Miyashi. It's possible. True. But the combination of the facts...
It's tied up. It's segregated.
But it could very well be the reason why the Hukavra was able to go and give the simon is because that's the way he handed it over to him when he sold it to him. or he gave it to Mr. Brett. Exactly. So what he's saying is the combination of these two figures together, these two facts together. If Rami Yashia would have been a possibly rich man, or at least a person of means, that could have bought the 7 Margarisa, it could very well be he went down to 47th Street, instead of putting it into a nice box, these 7 pearls, the person gave it to him in this sun. That's the meaning that they had those days. He didn't have a box, so he didn't have a purse. So he gave him a sun, he tied it up nicely, gave it to him. So, but the fact that, number one, he was not wealthy, and number two, the Agu Gavra for sure owned it at one time. There's no question he owned it. How would he know that there's 7 pearls in a sun? And therefore, you put those two figures together, those two facts together, therefore, the how Gavra wins against the Yorshim of Rabbi Yashim. And this rule, says Rabami, that this Ahugavra was not a frequent flyer in the home of Rabbi Yashim. But if he would have been a frequent flyer, it could be that he went there, you know, every other day. Maybe he learned with Rabbi Yashim b'chavrusa. Maybe Rabbi Yashim was the roof of the town, and he came constantly with Shilas. So then he might have seen when somebody else gave a pikadon to Rabbi Yashia. Rabbi Yashia asked him, tell me what's in that sadan that you're giving me? 7 pearls. Okay, good. I'll put it away in a nice corner over there, a nice winkle, and I'll hold it on to you. So it could very well be that that Haugavra that came now is a phony. The only reason why he knows about that sadan, because he was a witness when somebody else gave a pikadon. So you have to have that factor as well. You have to factor that in to the equation to be able to paskin that Haugavra wins the litigation against the children of Yashim. Now the Gemara is going to tell us two virtually identical stories, and we'll see afterwards why the Gemara has to repeat this. Haugavra, another person, the Afkid Kasa de Kaspa Bechasa. He left a kois of kesef, in other words, like a silver cup like we use for Kiddush on Shabbos. He left it in the home of Chasa. And guess what happened? Shavchev Chasa, Nebuchasa, Nebuchachmal Islan passed away. Rashi tells us, as opposed to Rami Yashia, who passed away suddenly, Chasa unfortunately drowned in the river. How does Rashi know that? Look it up, Mesechus Yevamos and Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. He died nebuch out of drowning. So also that he died suddenly. So he wasn't able to tell anybody what the story was. V'lei pocket. He didn't tell any of his household members who the kos belonged to, whether it was his or was so a pikadon. Again, also the comment of Nachman. Omelahu, and he said to them, throughout his short life, he passed away, he drowned, and he never was a man of means, and therefore he could normally not afford such an expensive cost. The oid, now Gavra is telling us exactly how big and how small the cost was. It was 18 carats of silver, and it was 5 ounces, 3 ounces. Exactly. Again, the same story, that the Hugavra was not a frequent flyer in the home of Chasa. Maybe somebody else left the pikadon, the Iyu, Mechsechosa. And he happens to have been there at that time, and he saw, oh, your uncle left there a silver kos, but wasn't his. So you have to be a person that was not a frequent flyer in Chasa's home. And now we have a third case. Ahudi Afkin Mitaksa. What's a Mitaksa? Says Rashi, it was a silk garment. Bei Rav Dimi, in the home of Rav Dimi. Achved Rav Safra. Shoch Rav Dimi. Unfortunately, Rav Dimi passed away. And the same thing, Nochamu. Leipakin, he didn't tell any of his children who this belongs to. Also, the Kamed Rababa came in front of Rababa, the Poisik. Omelahu. So said Rababa, I know he was not a wealthy man. He never bought silk garments. He bought polyester, probably didn't exist at that time. He bought cotton, he bought wool, maybe even linen, but he didn't go and buy silk garments. But, oh yeah, okay, you have similar. The Hagavra is telling us exactly what the measure was, what the size was, whether it was a man's garment, a lady's garment, etc. Again, once again, it must be that Hagavra was not a frequent flyer. If he's a frequent guest in that home, and he saw it. Now, as you see, the three cases are virtually identical. The only difference is what the object was, who the Gavra was, and who the Poisik was in each one of the three cases. So the Rif says in the back of the Gemara, the reason why the Gemara brought three cases to tell you That's the halacha, and you can rely on it because three separate poskim. It's not that each time it was Rav Nachman or each time it was Rava. Three separate poskim paskin di shaylus, and therefore, in such a situation where you don't have to wait him, it's really based on, if you will, circumstantial evidence, and the circumstantial evidence that was known by the shofet himself, by the dayan himself. If the dayan himself knows with a great degree of certainty the background facts, just because he knew the nifter, he knew chasa, or he knew any one of their miyashia, etc., he knew that they were not wealthy, and the other person gives a simon, the combination of the two, shoy,
based on that discretion, basically.
Exactly, as well as the fact that he was not a frequent flyer, those three factors put together, so therefore you can rely on that. And now we go on to another story, similar but different. Person before he passed away, he said to his children, you know, all of my nechasim, give it to Tuvia. Shachav, unfortunately, passed away. Also, Tuvia comes into the home and says, no, it belongs to me. Now, obvious question, of course, is, how many Tuvias are there in the world?
Right.
More than one. So, Amar Rav Yochanan, Harei bo Tuvia. Tuvia came, and he asked for it, he gets it. And therefore, he should go and get it. And that was the psak of Rav Yochanan. What Rav Yochanan is telling us, basically, is, even though there are other Tuvias in the world, but presumably the first Tuvia that comes on the scene
is the Tuvia meant by the Nifter.
He presumably was a very close friend or confidant or whatever of the Nifter. And so therefore, when the Nifter said, give it to Tuvia, why did this Tuvia show up? Why not another Tuvia? Presumably because he's that kind of Tuvia that was mentioned. However, says Iwa, Omer Tuvia, what happens if the Nifter said, all my Nechasim I give to Tuvia? For Asa, Rav Tuvia, Tuvia didn't come, Rabbi Tuvia came on the scene. No. He said, Tuvia, he didn't say Rabbi Tuvia. Presumably this was a person of Nimus and Derech Eretz. If he would have said Rav Tuvia, he said, Tuvia, don't give it to Rav Tuvia. However, the Inish to Gispe, what happens if the Nifter was a close friend of Rav Tuvia, and therefore he would always refer to him, in other words, he's a childhood friend, they played soccer together
it's
or whatever.
Tarfin to Akiva, Tarfin, they speak to each other without the title.
You have sometimes Rav Nachman refers to Huna Chavrin and things like
right,
that. Yeah. So anyway, so the Gemara says the Inish to Gispe, if he was close to Rav Tuvia, and therefore the reason why he didn't call him Rav Tuvia because he was a close friend of Gispe, so therefore there would be no raya whatsoever from the fact that he said Tuvia and not Rav Tuvia. But now what happens, Taka? Osu Shnei Tuvia. Two Tuvias come on the scene at the same time and they both say, I'm the Tuvia that the father left the money for. Let's now analyze who the two Tuvias are. If one is a Shachan and one is a Talmud Chacham Kaidim, then you give it to Talmud Chacham because of the fact that he's more of a Neman than the Shachan. The Mefarshim, by the way, point out, unless there is overriding circumstantial evidence that he was very close to the Shachan and he wasn't so close to the Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham lived on the other side of town. He met him once a year. The Shachan he spoke to on a daily basis. That's a different story. Here we're talking about in terms of korvashaft, in terms of relationship, the relationship was basically the same. So if you have a shachan Talmud Chacham goes first. You have a korv and Talmud Chacham koidim. Even the Talmud Chacham, even over the korv, he goes first. He boilu, what happens if shachan the korv, my? Have a shachan the korv, who goes first? Toshima, chaposik, toiv shachan korv, meach rochoik. A shachan korv is better than achroch. You have a brother who lives in Australia, and you have your next door neighbor, very often you tell him secrets, and you lend him things, he lends you things, etc. You have a much greater connection to the brother in Australia. So therefore, the shachan comes before the korv. When happens if they're exactly the same in all respects, these could be the same case, or could be two separate cases. Another two tuvias are both kroivim. Two tuvias are both shchein, or two tuvias are chacham, or two tuvias are kroivim, shcheinim, and chacham. What's the din now? Shuda the daini. What's my shuda the daini? There's always a machloikis in Rashi and Tosis throughout Shas what shuda the daini means. Rashi says that shuda the daini means that the dayonim have to use their discretion in trying to analyze what would the mess have wanted. Would he have favored this one or that one? They have to try to analyze to the best of their abilities as to who is the more likely one that he would have wanted to give. That's how Rashi is. Tosis says, no, that you can go and do basically whatever you want. See, the Tosis' third wide line, down below Shudu Daini. Or he could be Shakundus Kafi, Shiyoim do Adayonim Daitoi Shonoisin, Lemir Tsangalita Yoisin. Not that you're using judicial discretion to try to figure out who probably would have wanted to give. Elohim Rabbeinu Tam Shadayin Yitalami Shiyirza. You can give whoever you want. Shudu Daini means eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You can give it to either one, whoever you prefer to give it to, even though you don't analyze what the Noisin had in mind. Anyway, Ayin Matoises, getting back to our Gemara. I'm going to go and tell you something that your father of Chia Bar Avin said. What is this all about? This is about a situation where someone sold a note to someone else for money. Obviously at a discount, right? A person, a note was written to him, Smith owes him $100, and now I need the money, and Smith, it's not the maturity date, so I go and sell this shtar to Jones, and who was it, Jones? It was Smith or Jones? Anyway, the original shtar was from Smith, and I sell it to Jones. And the Smith's note was for $100. I tell to Jones, the maturity date is another year from now, but I need the money now. You know what? I'll sell the shtar for $50. You get a real, what a real bargain, because you know Smith is a wealthy guy, no problem. He's going to pay it off on the maturity date. And therefore, give me 50 now, and it's yours. Before the maturity date comes and goes, you know what he did? This fellow was a little...
The seller.
Oh, what did he do? He was moichel lechayv. Moichel lechayv.
And cheated the buyer of the note.
Cheated the buyer. Now, as far as the buyer being cheated, the Gemara is going to discuss that tomorrow, in terms of, can he get paid? That's not the discussion for today. The discussion for today is that the original seller of the note, he has the ability to go and be moichelit. How does he have the ability to moichelit? After all, he sold the note. So the Mephoshim explain, because every time there's a loan, there's really two things going on. There's the actual loan between the lender and the borrower, and then there's a piece of paper that reflects the loan that took place. When he sold, he didn't sell, quote-unquote, the loan. The loan is oisis porches ba'avir. In fact, the money doesn't even exist.
Right.
So there's nothing to go and sell. However, what he could sell is a piece of paper. Okay, the paper he sold. But that's only evidence of the loan. The loan still belongs to the original seller because he owed me the money. So what's the halacha?
So he sold him a piece of paper for $50.
Exactly right. A blank piece of paper.
Right.
It says all of these words on it, but basically...
Meaningless,
exactly. So he could be moichel, not even with that. What happens if the original seller passed away? If the Yorish, even the Yorish can be moichel. That's what the original halacha was of Shmuel. So now Rav Chiya Bar Avin said, but moide Shmuel, b'machnes eshtar choyv lebala. What happens if among the nechse maluk, when a young lady married her husband, she brought along shtari choyv that belonged to her? So now they belong not only to her, but also to him. V'chazur machlos, if she wants to go and be moichel, we had this reading a couple of days ago. Machloikis with Yodoi ki Yodo, or Yodoi Adifa mi Yodo, Nafkimina the Gabi Shemeres Yobam. You remember we had that. Anyway, but bottom line is, she no longer has the ability to go and be Moichel the Choiv, because since she's now married, her interests and his interests merge, and therefore she no longer has the sole authority, exclusive authority to be Moichel, so then Mechila is punished. And now the Gemara tells us a short story. Krav says Rav Nachman. Krav means a korev, a lady who was related to Rav Nachman. Zevintel ksuvas b'toyves anah. She went and sold her ksuba when the husband and the wife were still alive for a relatively modest amount. The reason why she sold it, because she needed the money. Nebuch, there wasn't enough money to go and feed the children. Her husband just couldn't make it. And therefore she sold it for a kleinekeit. Toyves anah means for a relatively small amount. Why for a relatively small amount? Because when will the ksuba become payable, just like a note? When's the maturity of this ksuba? Only if and when, chas v'shalom, the husband passes away, or the husband gives her a get. What happens if she pre-deceases her husband? Then there won't be any collection on the ksuba. So therefore the whole ksuba is relatively speculative. Number one, there may never be a day of reckoning if she passes away first. And number two, that when will the husband pass away and give a get? Might be in 50 years from now. We don't know, or he might never give a get, and we'll have to wait until 120. By that time, the buyer of the ksuba may already have passed away himself. So therefore, you pay a small amount for such a ksuba. Anyway, unfortunately, Igrisha eventually gave her a get. Ushiva and Nebuch, not that the husband died, that's already irrelevant, but Nebuch, she died. Okay, so now who's the one that's going to go and normally be Zoche in this Ksuba?
Her Yorshim.
Her Yorshim. In this case, she only had one Yoreshes, which was the daughter. And the daughter, by the way, she has two reasons to get the Ksuba. Number one, because it's her mother's Ksuba. Mm-hmm. Number two, because she was the sole daughter of both the husband and the wife. So anyway, she's going to give the whole thing Yerushin. Even if you don't collect on the Ksuba, she's going to go in Yarshin anyway. Anyway, the bottom line is, Zokti Yimara, Osu, the original Lekuchais, the purchaser of the Ksuba, now Katovilo Lebrati, say to the Brata, hey, hand over the pie. Hand over the Ksuba, because after all, we bought it. Omer of Nachman, Leka the Lesbola Eitza. Is there no one that's going to give an Eitza? Now remember, this was a Kroiva of Rav Nachman. Right. So Rav Nachman said, I'm really kind of biased.
Right.
But somebody else should go and give her an Eitza. Teizu v'tichle ksuvasa, de'ima legabe avua, v'tirsa mirei. What she can do is she can be mocheles the ksuba, because after all, it's she's like a shachoy.
Right.
And we just said, Yoyush is Michael. So now she is the Oreshes, she can be Michael. What's going to happen is, therefore, the ksuba will no longer be payable.
And now she just inherits the property directly.
Directly, because she's a Yoreshes.
Right.
But here's Aminei. Shama. So now the Kroivta of Rav Nachman, apparently she didn't hear it directly, but perhaps there were third parties. She heard about this. Ozlachut, and she was Taka Mechelis. Rav Nachman afterwards regretted that he voiced this opinion. Rav Nachman asinu atzmenu ki orchei hadayanim. We've now made ourselves, we dayanim are now becoming like lawyers. And therefore that's improper, as we'll see in a moment. Why did Rav Nachman initially say she could be morcheles? And then after that, why did he
regret?
Somebody should help out their own karm, should help her out. So if someone odom choshev shiny, it's not as passionate for an odom choshev like me to go and do something like this. Now, the Mefarshim explained, obviously there's nothing wrong in being a lawyer. However, if the purpose of the lawyer is to go and preserve your rights and help you to go and strengthen your rights, that's fine. But to go and
subvert
other people's rights, which was what happened over here by her being mecheles, obviously that's not the nicest thing to do, to be moichel on something that was sold.
To teach her this illegal trap door to avoid the ksuva.
Exactly.
And cheat the lokeach.
So had she done that
on her own,
since well, that works. But to go and advise someone to do something.
Rabbi Yochanan the other day advised his relatives.
It was the same type of situation.
Right.
And there, what did Rabbi Yochanan say about himself? Also,
I shouldn't have done it.
We had a virtually identical Gemara with Rabbi Yochanan. What about, does the purchaser have a right to go against the girl, against the prophet, saying, but I paid for the ksuba, give me my money back?
Right.
That's going to be the next Gemara. Gufa Miyach Hashem for tomorrow. Yes, have a wonderful day. Yes.
Today, so we have such a situation that you write a will, and then next year you write another.